Thanks.
Are you the next presenters?
I definitely hope so.
You definitely hope so? Alright, so you know how to use this one?
Not at all.
Alright. Oh, well, you're just clipping newer on your shirt. I'm just gonna mute it.
Can you hear me?
Yes.
Yes.
Perfect.
It's fine then.
All right, so.
Okay, so can we get started? Everyone? So, yeah? Okay, welcome to the Clang BSD presentation. My name is Roman Dziwacki, and I'm the current co-maintainer of the Clang BSD branch. So what is this Clang BSD thing all about? I don't know if you've heard, but FreeBSD has a little problem, and this problem is its compiler and basically the whole toolchain. The situation as it is now is basically that we are stuck with GCC 4.2.1, which is not very nice. We also have binutils 2.15, but we can go to 2.17 and something, but there are no updates allowed after that because of the GPLv3, which Core kind of decided that we can never go to. So what is the problem with GCC 4.2.1 and the old binutils? I mean, GCC 4.2.1 is old, which means it's really buggy, and there are no patches going to it upstream, so it's not very maintainable. And if you've ever seen GCC source code, it's not an easy and understandable and nice to work with piece of code. So our own efforts are basically doomed if we don't have like a paid developer to do this. So it's old, it has bugs, it lacks new features, and it's not maintainable. Well, those missing features you may be wondering about. This is a upcoming C++ OX standard, which is going to like shake the C++ world. And we currently have no support for that. And I believe that as the time goes, the third party applications will start to require this, and we are not in a good position to support this. There's also the issue of newer CPU support, which basically means that as it is now, we don't use any new features of the CPUs than SSC 4.1, I believe. And this is basically not an ideal situation, as you understand. So, what is it that we can do about it? Recently there surfaced some let's say competition to GCC, and it's the PCC, which is done by some OpenBSD guys, and I believe it's one guy in Sweden. It's a resurrection of the 70s compiler technology. It was kind of reworked, but it's one man's project, so in my opinion it's not industrial strength. There was a contribution from PathScale, which contributed to the open source their compiler and debugger and all the stuff. And there's this project, which is called LLVM, which is a compiler backend. And recently, it got pretty usable C frontend. So this is the possible solution. And I was kind of interested in the LLVM and Clang. So I started to explore what it can do for FreeBSD. And so what is this Clang and LLVM? It is C++ is an Objective-C compiler. You can say that the C and Objective-C part of it is pretty mature, at least that's what the Apple guys are claiming. The C++ is, I would describe it as a late beta stage, which means it can compile a lot of stuff, but it crashes often. So it's, let's say, late beta. But given the really fast pace of development, I believe this will change pretty soon. So in my opinion, Clang and LLVM is mature, and I will tell you in the next slides why is the case, why I think so. It's extremely developer-friendly. I have a small demo, some just screenshots, which will demonstrate what I mean. I mean, this demo was carefully chosen by me to be the worst case for GCC, so it's not a typical case. I mean, but what I mean by developer-friendly, I mean that it produces nice warnings and errors, which is one side, and there's the other side. It's much easier to work on and work with than GCC. Its code is modern. It comes from the, 2000 era called. Well, it started in this era, so it's a modern code. It uses modern developer technologies, like it's written in C++. It uses classes and this whole objective approach. And it's really much easier to work with. I mean, I believe Brooks Davis, I can't see him now, but he claimed that his coworker was able to contribute a whole new backend, I believe for Cell processor, by a completely unassigned guy. In, I believe, 2 months. Was it 2 months? Which means it's much easier to work with than GCC. So, and I believe this is really nice for this audience. The whole Clang and LVM stuff is BSD license. I mean, BSD license. It's actually some University of Illinois license, but it's basically the same as BSD. So, the current state of Clang and LVM is that it supports x86, it supports ARM, which are, I believe, the best supported backends. It supports PowerPC, it supports MIPS, Spark, and some other backends, which are not so well supported. There are some others, but these are really minor. It supports advanced optimizations. I mean, it supports the whole stack of optimizations that are taught in schools, like common sub-expression elimination, stuff like that. On top of that, it supports link time optimizations, which means that you compile your object files, and at a link time is decided what it's used and what it's not. And if it's not used, there are performed some dead code elimination and other optimizations. I believe GCC recently got this, but the LLVM implementation of this is much more grown. It also supports, beside static compilation, it supports jitting and many other things. The Clang frontend is meant to be drop-in replacement for GCC, which means basically two things. It means that its driver supports all the flags and switches that GCC does. So you can basically just rewrite GCC by Clang in your makefile, and it should work. It also means that all the GNU extensions to the C language, well, basically all the GNU extensions to the C language, are supported, except some really heinous ones. But there's a switch to switch them on, but I believe it defaults to off. So you can basically take your makefile and rewrite the CC or CXX variable to not default to GCC, but to Clang, and it just should work. And if it doesn't work, it's considered a bug. I believe I covered this. One of the really nice features of Clang is that it's really fast. I have some graphs to show you, and it shows some really nice performance improvements over GCC, especially in the area of C++ code. But you know, the C++ is not finished, so those are not definite numbers, definite final numbers. It has understandable warnings. I will show you in a minute. It's easy to contribute. I mean, if I'm not mistaken, if you want to contribute to GCC, you have to sign some legal papers and send it to FSF and do some paperwork. And generally, the community is not very friendly, and it's not a pleasant experience to work with the GCC community. On the other hand, the LLVM and Clang community is just a pleasure to work with. I mean, when I was submitting bugs to them, it was often the case that the bugs were fixed within hours. Sometimes it takes a little longer, but it's often the case that they fix bugs within hours. And I mean, they are reachable, they are responsive. it's just a pleasure to work with. I don't know if you've heard about LLVM, but it's being started to use basically everywhere. I mean, Ruby, which has like a million implementations, and I believe two or three of them are LLVM based. It's MacRuby, if I'm not mistaken, and Rubinius. PHP has a LLVM backend. Python has an LLVM backend, which is being developed by Google. And if I remember correctly, I was told by Jeffrey Eskin, which is basically the main developer of that, that they accepted a PEP to accept the Unleavened Swallow, which is the LLVM backend, to the official Python. So I don't know which version of Python, but they should be shipping with LLVM backend by default. LLVM is heavily used. I mean, it's used by macOS. I believe it's used for the some parts of the OpenGL chain, which is they are jitting some functions which are not supported by the hardware. And Clang and LLVM is shipping with Xcode. LLVM and Clang is actively developed. I believe the main contributor is Apple, which employs like, I don't know, 40, 50, a big portion of developers of LLVM. There are some people at Google who are working on this. I believe at this moment it's just their 20% of time which is being devoted to this. But I heard some rumors that they are establishing a team to work on some LLVM and Clang stuff, but I really don't know any details. Cray is interested, and he employs a really active contributor to the LLVM backend. And of course, there's the open source community. So there are other goodies in the Clang and LLVM family of projects. It's compiler RT, which is a libgcc replacement. But at the moment now, I mean, libgcc is basically parts of the C runtime. It's mostly the math functions which are used if your hardware doesn't support the math functions by hardware. So Apple contributed compiler RT, which contains like, I don't know, a lot of functions, math functions, and we are currently exploring the possibility to include this in FreeBSD instead of the GCC contributed libgcc. Let me switch this and have the LLVM MC at the end. There's static analysis, the Clang frontend. It includes a static analyzer, which is basically something like Coverity, or I don't know the names of the others, but it can statically analyze your code to see if you take this path and this path in the if statements, you may end up using an uninitialized variable or something like this. And I believe Ulrich Sporelin, which is in the audience somewhere, he's running a daily static analyzer, which shows where in FreeBSD we have problems. And some people even identified real bugs using this analyzer and fixed them upstream in FreeBSD, which is nice, I believe. On Tuesday this week, Apple announced libc++, which is a lib standard C++ replacement, which is BSD licensed. Me and Ed Schouten, we were looking at it, and it seems in very early stages, but it's quite promising. But let me tell you something about the LLVM MC. As I was talking at the beginning, we are currently stuck with the very old binutils, and basically the most important part of binutils is the assembler and linker. And LLVM MC is a toolkit. The LLVM MC stands for LLVM Machine Code, and It basically implements the assembler, because LLVM supports jitting. It has the description of the instructions and stuff like that. So adding some framework and a piece of code to parse assembler files, and the result is LLVM MC. The LLVM MC is promising. Yeah, people at Apple are able to use it for their Mac-O object files, but it currently lacks the alt writer, so it's of no use for us. But I believe it was yesterday, It was a guy from Google. He announced that he is working on ElveWriter. Sorry, he's not from Google. He's from NetBSD. Sorry for this. He announced that he's working on the ElveWriter. I skimmed over the patches, and it's like, I don't know, 2,000 lines of code. So it's not a 1 hour tryout. So I believe with the Elvium MC project, we may be getting a usable assembler which supports all the new instructions that our current S doesn't support. But this is open to further exploration. So these are some resources you can go to and to learn something more about Clang, LLVM and stuff. I will not go through this. Okay, this is the promised demo. As I told you, this is carefully chosen worst case for GCC. Actually, G++. I took pre-processed source code of one of the LLVM files, and I deliberately removed one semicolon. And this is what GCC produces. I don't know. It's pretty readable. This is the first 20 lines of the code, and here it says that the GCC processing the function produced 3,932 lines of warnings. I mean, for one missing semicolon. And I don't know about you, but it's pretty confusing for me if I just leave out one semicolon and it produces 4,000 lines of warnings. But as I'm telling you, this is the worst case for G++. And now let me witness you what Clang does. I mean, Clang just says there's expected semicolon at this point. I believe the difference is quite big. Basically, 4,000 lines of warnings. But as I said, this is the worst case for GCC. But generally, the Clang people did put a lot of effort to make the warnings usable. As you can see, they are using the caret, which tells you where in the source code the problem is. It usually has nice explanatory messages, and generally is a real pleasure to work with. I mean, GCC can be sometimes very cryptic, and G++ is almost unusable when it comes to errors and warnings. So these are the promised benchmarks. I, at some random point of time, took and compiled LLVM and Clang and compared it in these three simple benchmarks. This was no scientific, it was just, let's try what it can do. So I went and I compiled kernel three times with each compiler. I believe, oh, this is Clang, and this is GCC, and these are times. And for kernel compilation, it's my kernel configuration, but it's not important. It was the same code. It was 6.5% roughly faster, which is, it's not stunning, but I mean, it's for free, so why not? This is the times for world compilation, I mean build world. It was roughly 10% faster, but this is the world in Clang BSD, which includes large portion of C++ code, which is the LLVM and Clang itself. And these are the numbers for the C++. I mean, it tried to compile Clang and LLVM, which is all C++ code, and it was 33% faster, which is quite a lot if you think about it. It basically means that instead of waiting 30 minutes, you wait 20 minutes, which is, I don't know, it's nice. And bear in mind that it produced both the compilers produced a working binary, which can bootstrap itself. So this is no cheating. I mean, it's a real compiler doing real stuff. Okay, so what is this Clang BSD? This presentation is named about. It's a lot of testing. It was basically a year and a half or something like this of testing, where we were trying to compile FreeBSD. At first, we were trying to compile the kernel, and there was a lot of stuff missing or buggy. But once we got the kernel working, we focused on the world, and it was even more interesting. It was quite surprising, because I was kind of expecting the kernel to be tougher, but it wasn't. It's a lot of analyzing and bug submitting. I mean, the FreeBSD people submitted like 10% of all bug reports in LLVM Bugzilla. I mean, it was a lot of work, and it was incredible. And they didn't mind, and they even fixed them, which is amazing. So this Clang BSD branch, it's a Clang and LLVM build system integrated into FreeBSD. This was written by Ed Schouten. It's a set of make files which enable you to build Clang and LLVM in the FreeBSD BMake framework. There are some small modifications to the build system which are going to be reviewed, I hope, when we are going to integrate this. There were some small modifications to the world as a whole, but mostly to the contrib area, where Clang is more strict than GCC, so we had to fix some bugs. What we did in Clang BSD is a work which basically, okay, let me say it in other words. With GCC in world, we basically hard code some paths into the binary, which is not very nice. But and I didn't want to do the same with Clang, so I kind of did some changes to the make files to enable it to build world with some switches to the compiler, so the binary itself doesn't have to be modified at all. And in theory, this should enable all compilers with this GCC-like driver to be used for building world. No one has tried because there are not so many compilers with GCC compatible driver except GCC and Clang. But theoretically, in the future, it should enable us to just use it. Those what I mean by GCC compatible driver, I mean it has to support ISIS root, switch, and dash capital B switch. And this is basically all, so it's not a big thing. And in Clang BSD, there are some bug fixes and workarounds in the FreeBSD sources. And some of them were integrated upstream already. Some of them are being reviewed and investigated. And some of them are just workarounds, and which we don't know what to do about. But it's fairly small. I mean, the whole patch against Vanilla Head and Clang BSD, if you strip out the contrib, LLVM, and Clang, and if you strip out the user bin Clang, which is the makefile infrastructure, it's like, I don't know, a few kilobytes. I mean, it's not a big thing. So what is the status of Clang BSD? Clang BSD can compile everything, I mean, in FreeBSD, except a small glitch in the bootloader, which basically compiles, but it doesn't fit into the constraint space. But it can compile only on MD64 and i386, which is because we don't have any testers or people interested in any other architectures, which is, I don't know why, but we don't. As I have this small notice, we even have the FreeBSD print extensions, which is, I believe, quite nice, and it was asked for by Kip Macy. So what is the status of the architectures? AMD64 is the best supported platform by all means. I mean, like 90 people is working on that. 90% of the people are working on this, and it basically just works. I mean, it basically just works. i386 is a little less fortunate. I mean, it compiles and it mostly almost works. What I mean by that, there's a one small bug in the ALF loader, which is currently being investigated. It was already filed upstream and it's currently being worked on, but it hasn't been fixed. But if you replace the ALF loader with the one compiled by GCC, it works just fine. Then there's ARM. ARM is heavily supported by Apple, I believe, because their hardware is based on ARM. But we so far haven't had anyone to test it on FreeBSD, so I have no idea what the status is. Maybe Rafael can help us with this. The status on MIPS is that Alexander Timoshenko was doing some experiments and he tried to compile the kernel and he concluded that LLVM is missing some no abbey calls. I have no idea what it means, but he claims to be, he claims that Elvim is missing this, and if this is added, it should compile the kernel on MIPS. Then there's PowerPC, which was worked on by Nathan Whitehorn. The story with the PowerPC is that we think that it boots, but we can't be sure because the LVM backend is missing the var args, so printfer doesn't work, so we can't see anything. But Nathan reported that he thinks that it works. And I mean, the var args, it's like 50 lines of code in LVM, so it's not such a big thing. And the var args on PowerPC are said to be basically the same as on MD64, so it should be just a matter of taking the MD64 implementation and adjust it, but no one has done it so far. But Nathan is saying that he's going to do something about it. And it goes a little bad from here. There's Spark 64, which should be supported, but it isn't. I mean, LVM supports Spark, but it doesn't have any support for the 64-bit extensions. There's a guy from Sun who is working in his spare time, but it's like one patch, 2 months, so it's going kind of slow. There was IA64 backend, but it got removed for the lack of interest of anyone last summer, so there's no hope for Itanium. I believe there's no hope for Itanium in LLVM, not everywhere. So, except the code size problems in I386 boot 2, it compiles everything. But there are some problems with inline assembler, which is missing, like, I believe, two modifiers, but it prevents to compile one file in libc. It's like two lines of code, but it can't compile it. So in ClangBSD, we did the workaround that we compiled it to the assembler via GCC and replaced the C file with the assembler file, which is not nice, and it's not going to be done like this in FreeBSD, but it's a workaround. The missing modifiers in inline assembly are preventing Ampler from compiling, but otherwise I haven't heard any problems, and I've compiled quite a lot of code with Clang. But these are pretty visible ones, so it doesn't look very good. As I was saying, Clang is much more strict than GCC when it comes to code standards. So it warns in many places in FreeBSD. I'm going to send some mail to some mailing list to asking people to run Clang compilation on their piece of code to see the warnings, because there may be some valid ones which are real bugs. We'll see. When I first announced that Clang is able to basically ClangBSD is basically able to self-host, I asked for runtime testing, and there were some miscompilations and bugs, but this was all fixed. On MD64, the I386 is still having the miscompiled ELF loader. But this is, I mean, normal compilation. There are two other modes. This is debugging, which is supported, but it's kind of, it doesn't work exactly great so far. I believe Doug Repson was looking at it, and he identified quite a few problems. But I don't know, but it didn't sound to me like it's impossible to fix. But LVM currently does not have any support for profiling code, which, I mean, it's already pretty broken in FreeBSD anyway. And if I remember correctly, John Baldwin was saying just use PMC, but it's missing profiling. So ClangBSD is currently mostly a playground. It's not a branch meant for integration into HAT. And this is a list of things that will be different these are the differences to what will be integrated. I mean, in ClangBSD, Clang is the default compiler for all the world. And I don't think that we want this in HAT anytime soon. There were some stuff in Contrib LLVM which was unnecessary. It was documentation and test, but it got removed. because LLVM and Clang is pretty big piece of code, but Ed was doing some pruning there, and currently the source codes are like 4 megabytes smaller than GCC. Am I correct, Ed? So currently it's smaller, so which is pretty cool. Another thing is the compilation time, but that's another story. The Clang BSD branch contains some changes to the Clang driver, which would be nice to have integrated upstream, but I haven't got around to do it. But it definitely should be integrated upstream. It's like it's in the FreeBSD driver. It's about setting the default header search paths and paths to assembler and linker and stuff like that. We should integrate it upstream. There are makefile inc1 changes that are kind of crude and needs to get reviewed and possibly polished. We'll see about this. And there are changes, which I talked about before, to the source itself. Some of them are real bug fixes. Some of them are workarounds. And we get to do something about them. I believe we will go change by change to see what needs to be done. So there's this big issue of Clang and ports, which is kind of big issue. I mean, we've been living with GCC only for like a million years. I mean, who's ever heard about any other compiler than GCC? I mean, open source one. It hasn't been the case in like, I don't know, 15 years, 20 years. So most of the open source projects are just assume GCC. They even hard code the GCC into their binaries. They hard code it into the make files. And FreeBSD ports has problem with this when you want to switch to Clang. But there's a hope. There's an ongoing effort with KWM, which is Copmast. There's Rene, which is somewhere in the audience. And there's a Summer of Cool student, Andrius, from Lithuania, who is working on a project to bring Clang into ports and basically establish a general infrastructure to support other compilers than GCC in ports. As I said, the worst problems are hard-coded GCC stuff. It means hard-coding of the GCC name into makefiles and even binaries. It means using some GCC-specific things when it's not really necessary. I mean, relying on GCC bugs. For example, recently I discovered that G++ doesn't check access rights to the templated classes. So lib standard C++ from GCC 4.2.1 doesn't compile with newer GCCs because exactly this problem. There are some private members which should be public, but they are not. But GCC doesn't care, and Clang cares. So there are problems of this kind. There's a big problem of C99 versus C89. What I mean by that, GCC defaults to C89 with GNU extensions by default. And Clang made a bold switch, and it defaults to C99, and it breaks a lot of stuff. I mean, it even broke some stuff in the FreeBSD sources in the world. I fixed some of those like a year ago, and if I remember correctly, we default to C99 world now. So we should be okay, but the ports have real problems. And as I was saying, Clang is more strict than GCC 4.2. I believe it's getting better with newer GCCs, but as we are still using GCC 4.2 in base, we have a lot of assumptions about this. So what is the future of Clang BSD? I mean, those slides are kind of obsolete because there was a lot of changes in the past 4 days, but I will tell you about this. So the future of Clang BSD is definitely integration. We either integrate into FreeBSD or the branch is completely useless. What was my plan initially was to do some runtime testing calls, what I mean by that is that I wanted to send calls for runtime testing to some mailing list until there are no known bugs. Then I wanted to do some internal discussion. Then I wanted to import it. This was kind of changed on the toolchain summit on Monday, where it was decided that we are going to integrate Clang into FreeBSD basically any day now, almost. There was a branch created by Chowton, which is Clang sources plus the Clang build infrastructure and nothing else. So basically, when you use this import branch, you'll get the Clang binary installed and no other changes. And we aim to import this basically when they fix the ALF loader on i386, which could be today, almost. Given the pace of LVM development, I believe it could be even today. It's probably not going to be, but it could be. So we are going to ship with Clang in 9.0, unless something real bad happens. So I believe I run out of my slides, and I'm open to answering your questions if there are any.
So what do you do about binutil? All the strings and loader and assembler and all that?
Well, there's a project, ALF Toolchains, which is hosted on SourceForge. It's being worked on by Kai Wang and Joseph Koshy. And it implements most of the tools like strings, NMA, NM, and those small and easy ones. So it leaves the question of assembler and LD. I have absolutely no answer to the LD, but I believe the LVM MC project can and hopefully will bring us assembler, at least for for the Intel architectures and ARM. It already works on Mac, on Mac OS, and with the ALF writer, it should just work just fine with FreeBSD. It even brings the very nice thing that when you use the traditional compiler, you basically take the C code and you generate a big structured file of assembler. Then you call assembler and you parse the structured file of assembler and produce the objective code. I mean, with Clang, they have this integrated assembler, which basically skips the intermediate step. It directly generates the object code. To do skipping, generating the assembler file and parsing it again and forking to some binary and executing it. It should yield some performance improvements, but no one has tested it, and we can't test it because of the lack of ALWriter, and I hope this will change any day now. So any more questions?
You haven't talked about the quality of the code that it produces.
Oh, I mean, quality of the code. There are two aspects. First of all, I'll be honest with you, it doesn't produce as good code as GCC. GCC 4.5 or 4.4. But there are two things. We are not using GCC 4.4. We are using GCC 4.2, which is, I believe the code is basically the same. It can be sometimes faster, sometimes slower, but basically the same. And there's one more thing. LVM is so much easier to work with, to develop than GCC, that people are joining every day and they are submitting more optimization passes and improving the existing ones, that the quality of the code improves much faster than GCC. They are still playing catching up with GCC now, but I don't know when, but pretty soon I believe GCC will play catch up because it's just so much easier to work with. So, but currently, it produces worse code.
People have also done some benchmarking, and it tends to differ from GCC, but if you do a series of benchmarks in different types, it tends to be a wash overall.
Well, if I may add to one thing, they didn't focus on optimizing legacy code. So, for example, if you don't have SSE, it produces very bad code. But, if you don't have SSE, you are not probably aiming for a fast code. They also optimized a lot for computations. I mean, integer computations and stuff like that. So there are things which are faster. But for example, BZIP2, it's faster with LLVM. I did some benchmark like a year ago, and if I remember correctly, it was completely unscientific benchmark. It was something like 20% faster, which is, I believe, it was just good luck, but it was faster. But most of the time, it's slower. Any more questions? Yeah, as I was. Sorry? Yeah, I mean, the debugging information is currently bad. Well, there are no hiding for it. But, you know, in my test, it mostly worked most of the time. But I believe you that it doesn't work in your case. I believe it's not such a big importance for them now, because when I talked to the Apple guys, which are around here, they told me that they feel like the Clang and LVM is basically in the first part of development. They are aiming for new features and they want to improve the optimizations and do stuff. So they don't care much about these things that we use for releasing code and day-to-day work. I definitely hope to focus on the debugging problems a little. I think I've already talked to Doug, which is raising his hands. So do you have something to add? Well, it's improving. So, any?
Can you explain the plan for BSD 9? You're going to shift the distribution with CLang?
Yeah, yeah.
So you're not going to compile the distribution
with Yeah, CLang. Exactly. It was decided that we are going to ship FreeBSD 9 with Clang, but it's going to just sit there. It's not going to be used for anything.
Well, actually, the plan is to integrate the ability to extract
it. Yeah, but. No.
If it's looking to a well, it could be
possible. There's no way it would be on every bootstrap file or on every platform. It's possible it would be bootstrapped.
Yeah. Yes, but you know, we want to show the world in which direction we are going, and we also want to make the developers to make it easy for the developers to try this out and possibly fix problems in their code and spread the testing, improving the compiler. I mean, we are going to ship with it, and we are going to enable it. We are going to make it easy for people to try this out. Anyone else? No one? Okay, that's it then. Thank you.